There's our school bell. It's time to come back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. So grab your chair and grab your Bible and turn up your radio. And you'll want to turn in just a few moments to the book of Acts. We'll be looking at a couple of verses in Acts chapter 4. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 11. And we're beginning a study today of a man called Barnabas. The study I have in the little Sunday school lesson book is Barnabas the Great Hearted. Did you know Barnabas was not really his name? It is a nickname that was given to him because of his character. Well, we'll explain a little more about that in just a moment. But while you're turning in your Bible to Acts chapter 4, mark that, and then also Acts chapter 11, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're going to be looking today at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday of August the 26th, 1923. Barnabas the Great Hearted. Everyone should want a friend like Barnabas. And if you can, you can be a friend like Barnabas to others. Let me explain that to you. His name was actually Joseph. We read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, son of exhortation, a Levite, a man of Cyprus by race, having a field, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. You see, his name was Joseph, but we hardly ever call him Joseph. We call him by that surname, or that nickname that he had, Barnabas, a son of exhortation. Barnabas was the kind of man that would reach out to you and put his arm around you and encourage you and make sure you were included. You could call him a son of comfort or a son of consolation. Barnabas was a good friend to have. And throughout we read about Barnabas doing this. He did it for the great apostle Paul. He would later do it for his nephew Mark. And it became such a character trait for this generous man, Barnabas, who was always encouraging others, to give him that nickname. Bar, meaning son, and that last part of his name that we pronounce in Barnabas, put that together, the son of exhortation. Let me also read to you this text from Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. It says, they therefore that were scattered abroad upon the tribulation that arose against Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, and Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to none but only the Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. And the report concerning them came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch, who, when he was come, and had seen the grace of God, was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit, and the faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. And he went forth to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that even for a whole year they were gathered together with the church, and taught much people. and that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now in these days there came down prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great famine over all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius and the disciples. Every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea, which also they did, sending it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is in that reading. It is Acts chapter 11 and verse 24, where it says of Barnabas, "He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." There's a devotional reading that is suggested for this lesson. It is the 96th Psalm. And I'm going to read to you now the 96th Psalm. I'll be reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. And it goes like this. Oh, sing unto Jehovah a new song. Sing unto Jehovah, all the earth. Sing unto Jehovah, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. How his marvelous works are among all the peoples. For great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but Jehovah made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe unto Jehovah, ye kindreds of the peoples. Ascribe unto Jehovah glory and strength. Ascribe unto Jehovah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship Jehovah in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, Jehovah reigneth. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field exult, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood sing for joy before Jehovah. For he cometh to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with his truth." Now with that, let's return to Elam's notes. We read in the introduction to this Sunday school lesson, the church at Antioch was the first Gentile church. It ranks next to importance to the church at Jerusalem. Antioch was situated on the river Orontes, about 16 miles from its entrance into the Mediterranean Sea. It was 300 miles north of Jerusalem. It was founded about 300 B.C. by Seleucus Nicator, one of the generals of Alexander the Great, and was named in honor of his father, Antiochus. Seleucus is said to have founded 75 cities. Of these, there were 9 Seleucuses, 16 Antiochs, and 6 Laodiceas. He built Antioch in Pisidia, and Laconia in Pergia. At this time, Antioch was the capital of Syria and had a population of 500,000. In the 4th century, it is said to have had as many as 100,000 Christians or more. It was the 3rd city of the Roman Empire, Rome and Alexandria being greater. It was almost an Oriental Rome. It was a great commercial center. Roads from Asia Minor, Persia, India, and Egypt led to it. Caravans poured into it in a continual commercial stream of products from the east to exchange for the products from the west brought by numerous ships. It was a very wealthy city, beautifully ornamented and abounding in handsome buildings, but it was also very wicked. Jews, Greeks, Romans, Assyrians, and other nations were represented in its population. We read from Conybeare and Holson that if we wish to realize the appearance and reality of the complicated heathenism of the first Christian century, we must endeavor to imagine a scene of that suburb, the famous Dathan, with its fountains and groves of bay trees, its bright buildings, its crowds of licentious voluntaries, its statue of Apollo, where, under the climate of Syria and the wealthy patronage of Rome, all that was beautiful in nature and art had created a sanctuary for a perpetual feast of vice. Well, with that, we're going to read again that text from Acts chapter 4, 36 and 37, where it says, Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of exhortation, a Levite, a man of Cyprus by race, having a field, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. When we first meet with Barnabas in the church at Jerusalem in connection with the generosity and unity of that church, to which let us give attention for a moment, there were at that time thousands of believers, and they were of one heart and one soul. In this unity of the Spirit and great grace, there was manifested great benevolence. No one said that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Those who possessed houses and lands sold them and laid the price at the apostles' feet in order to supply the wants of the needy. None lacked. Only the needy received anything. This was a common fund out of which to supply them. But this was not a communistic leveling up or leveling down affair. Neither was it a joint stock company with which the apostles served as the business managers. The liberality of Christians today should be equal to the necessity, even if that requires a sale of property. When the church today is of one heart and one soul and great liberality prevails, the cause of Christ prospers, and preaching the word is more effectual. The manifestation of this great benevolence is given as a reason for saying in verse 33 that great grace was upon them all. Joseph, whose surname was Barnabas, is named here as having a field, selling it, and laying the money at the apostles' feet. He was a Levite, a man of Cyprus by race, and his name Barnabas means son of consolation. In contrast with the generosity of Barnabas is stated the sins of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Here we read, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, did it not remain thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power? How is it that thou hast conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all that heard it. And the young men arose and wrapped him round, and they carried him out and buried him. Acts 5 and verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours afterward, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. But Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to try the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are out the door, and they shall carry thee out. And she fell down immediately at his feet, and gave up the ghost.